his clothes are ripped and torn, I'll rip and tear mine to be with him. Hallelujah. 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 Why do people fight against God's choices? You know, one of God's choices is humility. That's one of God's choices. Humility. Amen. You think I'm hard on you? This is the guy I'm hard on right here. You want to read it with me tonight? God's choice. 2 Corinthians 6. No, 2 Kings. 2 Kings 6. Second Kings 6. Verse 1. Just 7 verses here. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Elisha answered, Go, go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? We'll go and get out the science book here and figure out how to retrieve that axe head, that valuable axe head that you can't afford, that you have to give back to the owner because you're responsible for it. And so we got to retrieve it. So we'll get an electromagnet out here, or we'll get some divers or something, and we'll get it back. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. That was God's choice. That's God's way of doing things. You know? He just bypasses your intellect. He just bypasses scientific formulas. He just bypasses our muscle and our strength and our abilities. Anybody with me? Second Chronicles. I'm having a good time. Second Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Okay, this is going to take a couple minutes here, but it's worth it. This is the Word of God. Let this Word of God sink down into your ears tonight, and you will grow thereby. It came to pass after this also that the children... Brother Bennett's preached on this. That the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Praise the Lord. You know, read Scripture to God. Put him in remembrance of his word. Talk to him. Remind him, God, you said this. You're sick. You're faced with surgery. You're faced with cancer, terminal cancer. Hey, God, you said this. You said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And hold your Bible up. I've done it. Hold my open Bible up with my finger on the verse and say, God, this is what you said. This is what Jehoshaphat is doing. God, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house. Lord, you said, if we'd stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And here we are, God. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. Oh, what lessons are here. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. O saints of God, if we'll just come together in our troubles and our problems and call on the Lord in one accord, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord fills this place with His presence. He said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. O saints of Pentecostal Assembly tonight, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. I mean, not cannons, not hand grenades. And singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. The Lord set ambushments. Away with your knowledge, away with your wisdom. Enter Holy Ghost. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Worried about your sickness? Worried about your enemies tonight? Let's do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And I want to end there tonight. And my last question tonight was, why do people object to? Why do people fight God's ways? God wants to come in and do a strange, in their eyes, miracle in their lives. God wants to fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they will speak with other tongues. As humbling an experience as it may be, that's what the Bible teaches. Praise the Lord. So why do people object to God's ways? Why don't we just go ahead and read what God says and obey Him and do it and don't worry about it? Pray in the Holy Ghost and let His Spirit bypass your intellect? Hallelujah. Let us stand tonight. Praise the Lord. If He wants to retrieve something from the bottom of the ocean to do you a favor, do a miracle for you, Let him do it his way. Praise God. We figure out a way and then we say, oh God, let it work. Oh, please let it work, Lord. I stayed up all night, all last week, figuring how to do this. Now bless it, Lord. No, God says, just do it my way. Do it my way and we'll get the job done. Amen. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And whatever your problem, whatever the problem is that you may be facing tonight, if you will just spend some time tonight before you leave this place, and it's only 8-something. It's only 8-something. Last week it would have been 7-something. It's early. I just encourage you to do what Jehoshaphat did. Call on God. Humble yourself before God. Remind God of His Word. And then sing unto Him. Worship unto Him. Praise the Lord with a loud voice. Shout unto our God with a voice of triumph. This altar is open. Your chair is waiting for you. The carpet on the floor in front of your chair is waiting for your knees. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. If we have music, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine. But somebody needs to worship God before they go home again. Like Brother Bennett started out tonight. God forbid that we came here just to appear. We came to worship Him, didn't we? Amen. Help yourself. Praise the Lord. The fountain's open. The Holy Ghost has been poured out. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost bypass your intellect tonight. Pray in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What's your problem tonight? Tell the Lord. Find the place in the Bible.
I'd like you to be seated and let me finish up this lesson. Question number 23, 24, and 25 from the teacher's manual on principles of church life subject, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Last week we talked about how people, or not last week, but the last time we taught this lesson on how so many people don't like God's choice. They want their own choice. And I have a question. Who was it that chose tongues to be the sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It was God's choice. And so I'm just going to go along with God's choice and not argue with God's choice. I love God's choice. Praise the Lord. Amen. So 23, the question is, what should a righteous person's attitude be when they hear that others are filled with the Holy Ghost? And we just read Acts 14 and 15, and now I want to go back to Acts chapter 11. Brother Bennett and I shared notes just before church, and he started with Acts 12 Sunday night, and I ended with Acts 10, so Acts 11 was left out. So let me just read Acts 11, and you follow along, and let's get into the story here. Acts chapter 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. See, this was even the apostles. Now, we're back reading now. We read 14 and 15, and we read, Brother Bennett read 12 and 13. Now we're going back to 11. And the apostles themselves were confused over this because, hey, I mean, you know, we had the law. You went into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or uncommon hath ever entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. I'm glad for the full gospel message, aren't you? Amen. Because Peter came and he told them about repentance, and he told them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and he told them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when they spoke in tongues, he acknowledged it as the same gift that happened to them back in the beginning in the upper room in Acts 2:4 in the day of Pentecost. And then he told them about baptism in Jesus' name. I'm so glad for the full gospel tonight. Amen. Who shall tell thee words? Now it's Peter that's going to Cornelius' house, and he's going to an angel from heaven said, and it's recorded in the Holy Scripture, it is written right here, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, that's John the Baptist, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? That's a losing battle. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Amen. Okay, I think I'll close right there, and you finish it at home tonight. That's verses 19 to 30, because this goes into the question that I want to ask right now. The question is, number 23, what should a righteous person's attitude be when they hear that others are filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues? What should their attitude be? I think it should be the same as we read here in Acts chapter 11. When these apostles heard that, and Peter explained it to his fellow brethren, that God had made choice among them, that by him the Gentiles should hear the word of the Lord, and by him Cornelius and his household heard the word of the Lord. Then here he says, and I remembered the word of the Lord. Who was I to withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. What should the attitude of a righteous man be when you hear that somebody has received the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues? They should glorify God. Whether they're Baptists or Presbyterians or Methodists or Episcopalians or Nazarenes or Church of Christ or Roman Catholic, whatever they are. I mean, if they're going to be like the Bible men were, then they should glorify God when they hear that anybody on earth received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. We're reading it right here. I love it. Praise the Lord. I love it. Amen. They should glorify God. Question number 24. Can we trust Jesus? How many think he's worthy of our trust? Can we trust Jesus when we make a request of him? Yes, thank you. I do too. See, some people say, tongues may be of the devil. This is a quote from somebody that said this to me. Tongues may be of the devil. You had better be very careful. That's dangerous business. It was gracious of them not to say, it is of the devil. They just said, it may be of the devil. You had better be very careful. That's dangerous business. Now, just turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and let's enjoy reading this passage together. Luke chapter 11, we'll start at verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I'll read 9, you read 10, I'll read 11, and so on. Okay? Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. If ye then, listen to this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And some people are saying, if you ask God, for this. You better not trust him too much. You better really be careful because it might be of the devil. That's dangerous stuff, asking God for the Holy Ghost. Brother, sister, it is not dangerous stuff asking God for the Holy Ghost. We just read it here. He said, don't you be a bit afraid. I won't give you a scorpion. I won't give you a stone. I won't give you a serpent. I'll give you the Holy Ghost. You got parents that give you good things. If they'll do that and they're evil, I'm good, no evil in me. What will I do for my children? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask for the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to pray with anybody that's seeking the Holy Ghost. God's not going to disappoint them with a rattlesnake, a scorpion, or a rock. No. So that's Jesus talking. Listen, Jesus is talking about his heavenly Father. Listen to him when he talks about his heavenly Father. About your heavenly Father, he says here. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So, that's Jesus speaking. Jesus speaks trustingly of our heavenly Father. Shouldn't we? Where do people come up? They have a grudge against God and they don't even know it. They don't like speaking in tongues. And they don't like acting like new creatures. They want us all to act alike, you know. Somebody follow me there? Praise the Lord. Okay. So can we trust our Heavenly Father when we make a request of him? Can we trust Jesus? Absolutely yes. Amen. Don't you trust Jesus when you make a request of him? Praise the Lord. And the last question in this lesson, then we'll sing, take up the offering, and then we'll go into the video and the presentation tonight. What does the outpouring of the Holy Ghost prove? What does it prove? Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, when Jesus ascended into heaven, you know, they killed him, death, they buried him, burial, resurrection, he rose from the grave, and then he was alive, showed himself alive after many infallible proofs for 40 days, and then he ascended up into heaven. You know what happened when he ascended into heaven, but I love preaching on that. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, John 16:7 says, Jesus speaking, nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is necessary, it is expedient for you that I leave the earth, that I go away, that I ascend into heaven. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But now listen to this. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So, what does the outpouring of the Holy Ghost prove? When you see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, you can just say, amen, he ascended into heaven. And then another one gets the Holy Ghost over here. Amen. Jesus ascended into heaven. I know, because if he wasn't in heaven, the Holy Ghost wouldn't be falling down here. So he did ascend into heaven, and the Holy Ghost did fall. And every time you or somebody in this church gets the Holy Ghost, it's proof that Jesus has ascended into heaven, and we can trust him, and we can ask him for the Holy Ghost, and he will give us not a stone, not a serpent. He will give us, not a scorpion, he will give us the Holy Ghost. So, what does the outpouring of the Holy Ghost prove? My answer is Jesus' resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven. Praise the Lord. How do you like exercise? Would you stand again, shake hands with somebody, and say, that's the truth. That's the truth.